sûr.
Yeah, I got that right. Good afternoon. As you know, my name is Dale, and I want to explain a little bit first. You're like, I'm at an AA meeting. A little bit first about what Magnet is. We're a gay men's community health center located in the Castro District of San Francisco. We serve MSMs almost exclusively. We are a program of the San Francisco AIDS Foundation, and we have 8 staff total. 5 of us are clinical staff, and we use a lot of volunteers to provide service. There's another shot of our storefront. This year, we're estimating that we'll do at least 7,000 clinical visits in a site that's set up to see about 1,500 folks a year. We're going to provide over 3,000 HIV tests. We probably have already diagnosed 50 new infections this year after our jump last week, which I may talk about later. Our positivity rate hovers between 2% and 3%. And so far this year, we've identified 7 false positive or quick tests using the RTA. Another shot of our inside our storefront. And basically, I just want to share some of the experiences that our clients and counselors have had while running the RTA. The first is the story of 2 clients. We had a gentleman come in, middle class, 20s, gay white male, whose partner had received the day before a preliminary positive result at a hospital site, actually. Partner was in the waiting room, a client comes in, and of course he tests positive. So the confusion then became, why does a partner have to wait to get his final results, whereas we could diagnose someone the same day? Basically, the counselor at that point brought the partner in to explain the dynamics and what we were doing. So, you know, expectations of our clientele have shifted. Expectations of all HIV clientele will probably do the same. RTA is well known throughout San Francisco already, and there's a high demand for it. 67 partners. This is a story about follow-up. Gay Asian male, early 20s, had episodic risk for HIV. And when I talked to him at follow-up, he had notified 67 partners that he may have exposed them to HIV, and out of those 67, only one of them had tested positive. By providing the RTA, our positive customers can have quite a lead on notifying their partners and encouraging them to get tested. Oftentimes, they'll bring their partners into our storefront for follow-up testing as well. And the counselor perspective. This is about a false positive. This just happened about, I would say, a month ago. Young counselor, new to San Francisco, fairly new to rapid testing. He's a gay white male, early 20s. He's a law student. He was testing a gay Latino male with episodic risk. And again, it was a Voraquick false positive. And in talking to the counselor after the disclosure, the counselor's words were, it was almost harder than giving a positive result. So waiting a week to find out that your first result was a false positive result can be pretty stressful, both for counselors and for our customers. Nice shot of the tests. This is my favorite quote. One of our counselors said that running the RTA renewed his faith in rapid testing. Basically, you know, with all the issues that San Francisco has seen around false positives, you know, it can shake your confidence in the testing, but by adding 1 or 2 additional tests, it's easy to see that, you know, this is the way to go. As a coordinator of a testing program, I feel that if we were to not continue testing under this algorithm, that it would be a disservice to our clients. Not only do they expect this service, but stepping backward would not assist us in diagnosing folks, and it would probably compromise our integrity with our population. The overall impact on our clinic flow and our training staffing has been very minimal. other than, you know, retraining certain counselors, which goes back to what Thomas was saying about skill sets. You know, it's been very easy to roll out without having to do follow-up visits. The overall impact on our clinic flow is actually reduced. So, so that's that.
What happened last week or 2 weeks ago?
Last week, Wednesday and Thursday. Did I go too far? Okay, thanks. We had we diagnosed 6 folks with HIV in a 24-hour period. 5 of them were through the RTA, and 1 was through our RNA testing program. And it was stressful, to say the least, but it was also, pardon my saying so, it was actually a really joyful experience to be able to send 5 people out the door with definite information, and no fear as to, you know, whether they would come back for follow-up, where they would end up after they left us. We got them all referred into healthcare. I know one of them saw a doctor the next day. So it's just, even in moments like that, when it seems like the whole ceiling is falling in, the RTA was a great asset to us. Thank you.
Sure. I'm going to take like 2 minutes to summarize and then hopefully kick off some lively discussion. So what I heard from all of these presentations is that the data that we do have suggests that using multiple tests at point of care definitely reduces the number of false positives and identifies them in the same visit. More importantly than that, it allows us to make the referrals, like Dale's talking about, to HIV care the same day. Even if every single one of the clients came back, that saves a week's worth of waiting for them to come back, a week's worth of agonizing for them, and a week's worth of time when they're not going to see a doctor. And it also, from the counselor's perspective, cuts down the number of times that the amount of time that they have to worry about waiting for follow-up people to come back and track them down when they don't come back. So I think that's a big plus. I also heard that the additional training and quality assurance, there's a lot of it, and it can be complicated. But I think that sites that are pretty good at rapid testing with one test can adapt themselves to be pretty good at rapid testing with multiple tests. HIV testing is now offered everywhere from a clinical lab to a hospital to a park bench. That's different than when the testing algorithms were developed 20 years ago. I think different strategies for how to do confirmatory testing are going to be needed in different settings. One of the things that we didn't really talk about in the beginning is that there's been a lot of work done in this area already. I would refer people to the HIVtestingconference.org website, which has some of the draft algorithms and ideas that we've put together so far. If you're sitting in here thinking, what do I need to think about in order to determine what might work for me? Some of the things I think that Thomas and others have said you need to consider are, how many tests do you do? If you only do 10 tests a month or a year, I'm not sure that the additional effort is going to end up being worth it for your agency. If you are good at doing one test, you will probably be good at doing 2 or more. If you can't do the quality assurance around testing with one rapid test, this is probably not something to jump off and try and do. What's the prevalence in your site? That may determine whether or not you want to do 2 tests or 3 tests, because if you have a high prevalence area versus a low prevalence area, the number of people who screen positive and need that second test who actually are infected will be different depending on what your prevalence is. How good are you at doing follow-up? We heard from 3 different very different places that had between 60% of their people who didn't come back for follow-up, and there are some places where it's much closer to 90%. And so this may not be a big deal in those types of places. Doctor's office, I could think, would be one of them. If you go and see your doctor every 3 months and you're doing testing, you're probably going to find the person eventually. The problem is eventually. and that's just some of the things you might want to think about. We had 2 health departments, well, 3 really, but 2 health departments that have actually already implemented this. They represent 8% of the AIDS cases in the country. So almost 10% of the AIDS cases in the country, and we still have small numbers of false positives and true positives to look at the effectiveness of this with. Other places like New Jersey and New York State and New York City are starting to pilot this stuff, but we don't have, I think, enough data to come out and say, go ahead, drop the Western blot, it's awful, and move on. We need to conduct the Western blot as part, we're still in that field evaluation phase as far as I'm concerned, where you need to do the Western blot in parallel with what else you choose to do, and make sure that whatever testing algorithm you work towards works in your site. And we need to evaluate the effect, if any, on getting into care in terms of the rapid test algorithm. If this actually, in addition to eliminating all the headaches around having people come back, if we also do a better job of focusing our efforts on the people who are positive on two or more rapid tests because they haven't left, and we can tailor our messages and walk them across the hall to the clinician's office or schedule an appointment for tomorrow with them, then this strategy may be even better than it already looks, but we still need to get there, and because there are other barriers to getting into care that are out there. So we do need more data from other sites that are willing to pilot, but we also need feedback from people like those of you who came today. We're continuing to work with the various organizations to collect more data and refine the testing strategies, and we're going to do a consultation at CDC to discuss changing the testing guidelines in the future. I wish I had an exact date, but then you'd hold me to it, and so we'll say in the future. So with all of that said, I'd like to start getting the feedback now. Go ahead. Yeah, it began in August 2007, and it's scheduled to go through the end of January.
And does that, assuming the positive results continue from that study, does that then have to be approved by the FDA, or
CDC? It would be a CDC guidance that would come out of it. The FDA approves the individual tests, and the language in the package insert already allows for doing stuff like this. There may be some CLIA issues that we have to resolve. But in terms of the FDA has basically said CDC makes the guidelines, and so we will have to look at the data, hopefully get more people to provide us with data, and do that. One of the things in terms of reporting that we have to work out is some states require reporting of Western blot positive results. Obviously, if we're going to move away from having a Western blot positive result, we need to deal with that. But one of the ways that I think Gene is already dealing with that and that we could deal with it in other places is that this process is not the diagnosis. The diagnosis still happens in the doctor's office. What this does is make the process for referral happen that much faster and that much more effectively up front, and so that if there are laws that say you must do test X, Y, and Z, that it will take time to change, we can have the doctor order X, Y, and Z. And I think Gene can talk a little bit about the fact that most of the time the doctor already does order X, Y, and Z, because he doesn't necessarily take the fact that Dale says this person tested positive at Magnet and face value. They order that test when they show up at the clinical site anyway.
I absolutely agree. I mean, the fact of the matter is we're sort of sidestepping the issue by simply referring to ours as a rapid verification process, and we're not excluding the fact that they're going to do a confirmatory Western blot, and that's designed to separate the issue of linking to care from the logistics of dealing with reporting requirements and the other things that kind of flow from this. And it seems to me that the only way to break the logjam is to separate the two of them, because by the time all of the issues the CDC is going to end up being involved in and issuing guidance and all the rest, doing it this way allows us to get the process rolling. I mean, you know, to to roll this out to, 117 sites in New Jersey is going to be a long process. We're going to do with Thomas's advice of starting gradually and slow is why we're starting with three sites. I mean, we've got well-trained sites as it is, but it's still going to be a long process.
Go ahead, back there. It's in the U.S., which is what we're mostly talking about today, it's less of an issue in terms of mother-to-child transmission. I think last year we had less than 60 cases of mother-to-child transmission nationwide. So it's a different issue for us than it is for Cameroon, but I agree that antibody testing where you're detecting the maternal antibodies isn't going to resolve that. One of the things that you could do if you only had access to rapid tests, however, is to continue to do the antibody test for up to 18 months. I know that's not optimal, but the DNA PCR and other things that can be done on blood spots are things that other colleagues at CDC and other international colleagues are working on, and that's where I would refer you for most of that. Again, it's less of an issue for our group in terms of the number of HIV-infected kids in the U.S., thankfully. Thanks. I'm going to the back, and then I'll come back up, Peter. There's two ways to answer that, and one of them involves a question back to you, I think, because is the issue really not having California-trained phlebotomists to do the finger stick, or is it inability or fear of doing a finger stick or blood draw on a park bench?
So,
California phlebotomy issue
I don't know, Dale, if you want to respond to that. You were shaking your head, yes.
We actually had run the RTA in the field. World AIDS Day, we tested 30-ish people in a gymnasium. And other than having to bring a gymnasium's temperature up to the
And the other thing I would say related to that in the other direction, but I'll let Jackie go first. Pick up a copy of this month's public health reports and look at the front cover. That's the van she's talking about. I won't characterize it other than to say you should look at it. The other thing I was going to comment on related to that is that CDC is continuing to work with test manufacturers on other oral fluid rapid tests and potentially ones that could be used as an oral fluid field confirmatory test. And those are probably a few years away, but they're coming. Peter?
OraSure hasn't been terribly cooperative in terms of their pricing of their supplies. And one of the things that we've done centrally, when I describe our program, we bring all of the devices into our facility, we validate them before we send them to our sites, distribute all of the users. And one of the consequences of doing all of that is we've negotiated pricing, and the pricing for some of the alternative rapid tests are almost half what the oral test is being charged at. So as a result, we've been directed by the Department of Health to gradually switch people over, switch clients over. And we've been doing that. So there's more stat pack rapid testing being done. And that's the direction we've been moving. Now, there will always be clients that need oral testing. If I'm listening to the California code, you won't get away from that. But manufacturers have to recognize that, you know, you can't offer all of these programs in an economically inefficient way and get through the budget process.
Yeah, I think also, can you comment on the epitopes that are used for the test? So they need to be really different.
They definitely need to be different. And in our experience, these have worked well with the variations that are in them. We haven't really had a problem. And you can see that
Let's go here and then here, and then I think we need to clear the room. Question was, California is a little unique in its requirements for who can do a finger stick test, and they, since everybody else is from California, she was seeking clarification on what the requirements are to perform a finger stick in New Jersey.
All of our counselors can perform finger stick testing. They have to go through certification in our process, so there's hands-on training. They're taught how to do a finger stick. They're taught what not to do, and they are then credentialed for doing it. But it is not a state licensure process. It's certainly not a $2,500.
How long does it take?
Oh, we do that in the same time that we're going through training for the rabbit. So we basically spend one day doing didactic and hands-on, sort of divided in half. And if they need finger stick training, they get it on the spot there.
Right here, and then in the back. Thanks. Time for, I think there was one question in the back.
I had a really amazing question. You guys are talking about doing multiple rapids in terms of my test, and I'm wondering if you're doing multiple fingers here, or are you doing metafuncture? And then along with that is the kind of flow of that. You're doing your preliminary initial oral test, getting your preliminary positive, getting that sample, and then if you're getting it discordant on the first rapid test, are you doing the second rapid confirmatory before you report back to the client, or are you reporting back to the client in between?
One of you.
So what we're doing.
you run the second and third test before the client receives the information.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We thought about that long and hard when we implemented the study, like popping your head in, nope, negative, fifth reaction. No way, that's never going to work.
One quick question. I just wondered about your five positive clients. Were they linked?
To care?
No, linked to each other.
To each other. Two of them were partners. Two of them had moved to San Francisco 3 weeks prior together, although they were not sex partners. And then the fifth one was not related at all.
Nobody's breaking down the door, but I'll take one more question, I guess. Nobody wants to get up and leave, so we'll take a couple more. Go ahead. San Francisco wins.
So, describe that to me, Zach. What was the false positive? Was the first test a positive and the second
the orographic
test showed negative?
Yeah.
And then the EIA left the mock that you'll work next
to. So what happens when you have a positive, negative, positive, or something? If you have something going on like that, what soon?
We haven't had that.
Trigger you to do further investigation. That's why I leave it in that. That's why I leave it in that.
So in RTA, you would say what you say to a patient or client. You would say, hold on, we're going to do a rapid test. Or
what
do you
we
say
did? Oh, we actually had one client that was that did have that sort of positive object, and then it was reacted. But the Western blot was not, and what we, the dynamic of a cancer is a little different in that we were able to, what we required was additional follow-up and referral to care. But in San Francisco's case, they're able to get an additional assessment in that testing, but within LA, it's not quite feasible for us to do that. So what we did is refer to care and go ahead and run
But that's one of the, I think, outstanding questions about do you want to do two tests or three tests? In some respects, Gene's situation where he's only doing two tests, and if the second one doesn't match the first, you refer them and you give them a different message of we're not quite sure. Maybe better, except that I never like the we're not quite sure message. The problem with the positive-negative-positive is that depending on your prevalence, that's either false positive on two tests or false negative on the middle one. And that's going to vary by prevalence, and it may be site-specific what you do with that person. So those are some of the intricacies of where we go from here that still need to be worked out.
I mean, I would only add to that one of the reasons. I mean, when I started, I said something about the way you're organized really matters. And the way we've organized the New Jersey program, which is very centralized, is there's laboratory support both at the technologist level and at the level of docs to provide support to work up these discordants. And so what happens is, and I carry a phone,
yeah.
And they'll call me. And I will get a call.